Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday, the 8th of April, 2025. My name is Jake and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Judith Piggott and Hazel Hobbs. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Sunrise today is at 6:24 and sunset is at 7:21. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to OxTalk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access OxTalk online.
Notice to listeners of OxTalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to OxTalk using Alexa. To listen to OxTalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to OxTalk, please follow this procedure. Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.
A group of Oxfordshire MPs are calling on the government to help save jobs at Oxford's BMW mini plant in Cowley after the car giant announced it would delay plans to build electric cars there. The £600 million plans to reintroduce battery electric mini production in Oxford was announced in September 2023 and was due to begin production in 2026. BMW announced last month the plans would be put on hold until the end of the decade, due to the drop in electric vehicle (EV) sales and multiple uncertainties facing the car industry. Lib Dem MPs Freddie Van Mierlo, Charlie Maynard, Callum Miller and Clive Jones visited the BMW site on Monday the 24th of March. They met with the managing director, senior BMW staff and representatives from Unite, the union which represent the staff there. All Oxfordshire's Lib Dem MPs wrote to the business and transport secretaries raising concerns about the uncertainties facing the plant. In the letter they said, thousands of jobs will be at risk if the move to EV production at the plant does not happen at pace. It went on to urge the government to provide grants for electric car conversions, invest urgently in schemes to speed up the installation of rapid charging points throughout the country, and end the discrepancy in VAT for those using public charging points. In a joint statement after the visit, the three Oxfordshire MPs said, "The Oxford Mini is not just a product. It is more than a car to people in Oxfordshire. It is something to be truly proud of and part of our history. Generations of people have worked at the plant in Cowley. Mini plant workers live in our constituencies across Oxfordshire, as well as the many hundreds employed in the supply chain." Plant representatives from Unite highlighted the worries workers have about uncertainty over the plant's future production plans. They added they were committed to working with local MPs across all parties to help support the plant and its workers. BMW agreed to redevelop the Cowley plant site to create the new plant Oxford factory and has been producing the new Mini since May 2001.
New music venue fills need for stages for local bands. An Oxford music venue has converted its front bar into a new venue, giving a platform to new bands missing out on stages following the closure of many of the city's venues. The Bullingdon in Cowley Road opened its Little Bully venue in January because of a shortage of small and medium-sized venues in the city. The Little Bully has a capacity of 110 for gigs and 140 for club nights, and Paul Williams, general manager of the Bullingdon, said it is vital to the ecosystem. Its launch follows the closure of intimate venues in recent years, including the Cellar off Cornmarket, the upstairs of the Wheatsheaf off High Street, the end of Much Live Music at the Port Mahon in St Clement's, and the imminent closure of Common Ground in Little Clarendon Street. Mr Williams said, "We are an all ages and accessible venue, so it allows all to be involved, which is a rare opportunity. Bands can play at the library and other smaller spaces before moving up to the Little Bully. They can then move on to the Big Bully, which has a capacity of 310 for gigs and 420 for clubs, as well as places like the O2. Mr Williams said Oxford is at the crossroads at the moment. "I wouldn't say there is a lack of grassroots venues, but awareness and usage of them needs to be promoted more," he said. "There should always be more, and there is a distinct lack of venues in the city centre. This month, there are 17 venues doing grassroots events and three more doing open mic nights, all listed in music magazine Night Shift, so I'm sure there are more. On top of that, you have the larger venues, such as the O2 Academy and the theatres." He said it is critical for venues to maximise and diversify revenue incomes as much as possible, and added the last few years have been a knife edge, but towards the end of next year, and so far this year, it feels promising, which is showing a booming scene. "Without government help, though, I fear some of this progress may be diminished with new premises not wanting to take the risk." Paul Whiteman, director of Oxford Community Benefit Society, Causing a Scene, called on Oxford City Council to be bolder in helping the local music scene by introducing a visitor levy on overnight hotel stays and tourist coaches, and putting the money raised into a ring-fenced music and culture fund. Bands like Radiohead, Supergrass, Foals, Stornoway and Glass Animals were all born in Oxford, but music writer Ronan Munro, editor of Night Shift, is concerned that there is a huge community of musicians and music fans in Oxford who are losing places to play.
Chiltern Railways has been appointed as the operator for the first stage of the East-West Rail, which will eventually connect Oxford and Bicester with Cambridge. The appointment this week comes ahead of the route's planned launch later this year, which will support almost 100 new jobs at Chiltern, boost local economies along route, and see passengers benefit from slashed journey times and better access to jobs, education and business opportunities. When delivered in full, East-West Rail is set to generate £6.7 billion of growth per year in Oxford-Cambridge by 2050, bolstering the thriving life science cluster and supporting up to 28,000 jobs in Cambridge alone. Serving six stations, the new line will initially link Oxford and Milton Keynes for the first time in nearly 60 years, accelerating the regeneration of town centres and helping build new homes across the full line as part of our plan for change. Rail Minister Lord Peter Hendy said, "Appointing Chiltern Railways to run the first East-West rail service is one of the crucial last steps in getting the line up and running later this year, and means local people in the area are closer to experiencing the benefits of this transformative project. This milestone demonstrates that we are serious about unlocking the potential of the Oxford-Cambridge growth corridor, providing greater connectivity across the region and delivering on our Plan for Change mission to drive economic growth. A new station at Winslow will reconnect the town to the rail network for the first time since the 60s, with trains also stopping at Oxford Parkway and Bicester Village, and a revamped Bletchley station along the new line. Chiltern will manage the newly constructed station in Winslow, which East West Rail says will open up better employment opportunities, provide easier access to public services, and provide a reduced reliance on road travel. Richard Allen, Managing Director of Chiltern Railways, said, "The first stage of East West Rail will provide fast, direct train services between Oxford and Milton Keynes, and we are delighted that Chiltern has been announced as operator."
Students hold first AI fashion catwalk. Oxford University has hosted its first ever AI-driven fashion catwalk. The event, spearheaded by second-year student Ruben Meller, took place at Lady Margaret Hall. Five of the university's most innovative fashion designers were selected to use AI to craft a wardrobe for the physical runway. Mr. Meller said the designers came together to question where fashion is going in the AI revolution, using their creations as a form of social commentary. One of the designers, Zyra Krista, a third-year music undergraduate whose work has appeared in Vogue, Vanity Fair and London Fashion Week, expressed concerns about AI's influence. She said, "It's alarming to see how seamlessly AI has integrated itself into the creative network. I'm shocked at how easily AI can undermine the humanity of artistic creation." The designers took a range of approaches, leveraging both images and language models to shape their creations. The fashion industry is being rapidly transformed by AI. Luxury conglomerate LVMH, involving Moët Hennessy, Christian Dior, Tiffany and others, has developed AI-driven platforms to improve production efficiency, while WGSN, Worth Global Style Network, a consumer trend forecaster, introduced an AI-powered fashion buying tool in 2024 to support industry buyers with predictive insights. Also last year, Moncler worked with Chinese artist Lulu Li to transform AI-generated designs into a ready-to-wear collection. According to McKinsey, a global company involved in fashion and AI, generative AI could add up to $275 billion to fashion industry earnings within 5 years. The Oxford Catwalk was part of the President's Summit, an exclusive black tie event series founded by Mr. Mellor for Oxford University Society and Common Room Presidents. Mr. Mellor is president of the Oxford University Advertising and Marketing Society, a role he has had for more than a year. The AI-themed event included AI-generated cocktails, AI music, and Oxford's first student-led AI art exhibition, with nearly 200 people signing up. First release tickets sold out in just 15 minutes. Just days after the Oxford show, the prestigious Hong Kong Palace Museum hosted the 2024-25 Culture 10 AI Fashion Show, powered by an AI-driven interactive design assistant. The international event showcased emerging designers who blended futuristic silhouettes, cutting-edge textures, and AI-enhanced patterns, highlighting AI's growing role in fashion innovation. For some designers, AI is more than just a creative tool, it's a game-changer for accessibility. Zain Mohammed, a designer in the Oxford AI Catwalk, said, "Being dyspraxic in fashion has always been a challenge when creating designs. It allows me to level the playing field by giving me an accessible canvas to visualize my ideas."
Controversial plans for new solar panels in the West Oxfordshire countryside have been recommended for permission, despite receiving more than 40 objections. Applicant Benta Klein wants to have a renewable energy generating station, which includes ground-mounted solar panels and battery storage containers, a university farm in Whitney Road, Hayley. A total of 45 people, as well as Hayley Parish Council, have objected, saying it will spoil the especially rural character of this area. West Oxfordshire District Council's Lowlands Area Planning Committee will make a decision on the 7th of April. Planning officers have recommended it for permission. In the planning officer's report, it said, "The proposed development would harm the character and appearance of the surrounding landscape and less than substantial harm to the setting of designated heritage assets. Conversely, the scheme would result in significant economic, social, and environmental benefits through the low-carbon method of energy generation proposed, resulting in 35 megawatts of renewable energy and offsetting 44,254 tons of CO2 per year. This includes the generation of renewable energy and a consequent reduction in carbon emissions, supporting the county and country in meeting national and local targets on renewable energy and carbon emissions, providing additional employment and ecological enhancements in excess of the minimum statutory requirements. These extensive benefits are considered sufficient to outweigh the landscape and heritage harms." Objector Annie Hogg of New Yat Road said, "The impact of 54-foot lorries on the local roads will be immense for both the village and villagers of North Lee and New Yat. It is totally unsuitable for the lorries to access the site by coming through the village, as the road surface is breaking up in some areas now. Then there is the problem of the two pinch points on the New Yat Road, which often cause problems for ordinary motorists, plus the extra traffic and pollution that the villagers will have to suffer. Neil Roberts, also of New Yat Road, said, "Covering the land with solar panels will spoil the especially rural character of this area and the surrounding settlements. There is bound to be an adverse effect on local wildlife. The area is home to a rich variety of habitats, flora and fauna. Construction works, fencing in and covering over will all be to the detriment." Anthony Hopkins of New Yat Road said, "Common Road and New Yat Road are not suitable for construction traffic. It is already in a bad state of repair. It is used for school buses, cars, cycles, horse riders, walkers, farm vehicles, and as a rat run to bypass Whitney."
An Oxford City Centre bank will be one of the first in the country to have a work cafe after plans were approved. A planning application was lodged for Santander in St Aldates for a range of new signs and a cash machine. The scheme is part of the bank's recent concept of work cafes being implemented at its branches throughout the UK and Europe. Oxford City Council planning officers permitted the scheme using delegated powers on March the 31st. In the decision report, it said, "The Council considers that the proposal accords with the policies of the development plan. It has taken into consideration all other material matters, including matters raised in response to consultation and publicity. Any material harm that the development would otherwise give rise to can be offset by the conditions imposed. The Council considers that the proposal, subject to the conditions imposed, would accord with the special character, setting, features of the special architectural or historic interests of the listed building. Work cafes operate as free shared workspace for anyone, as well as being an ordinary bank. You don't need to use the bank as a bank in order to work there."
The King and Queen hosted guests from various regional news organisations at Buckingham Palace to show support for local news, with the Oxford Mail among those meeting the monarch. King Charles was welcomed to the event on Wednesday, the 26th of March, by Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy and a gathering of leading media professionals. Oxford Mail editor Andrew Coley and reporter Toby Oliver were in attendance, along with reporters from a range of local newspapers, TV networks and radio stations. BBC presenter Sally Taylor, 69, the longest-serving female presenter at the corporation, sparked laughter with a remark about her decades on screen. Miss Taylor, who has presented BBC Saturday for nearly 40 years, said, "It was lovely talking with the King. We shared a good joke. I said, 40 years is not bad for an old bird, and he laughed." King Charles, who has been an honorary life member of the London Press Club since 1978, told those gathered, "I have long believed that regional media, in all its forms, has a unique and vital role to play in society, perhaps even more so in these uncertain times." He recalled his speech in 2002, marking the 300th anniversary of Britain's first daily national newspaper, in which he said the press, alongside other long-standing institutions, were at the forefront of defining, describing, and celebrating the more profound values of our nation. Two decades on, when too much focus is given to that which divides us, that role for your whole industry is more important than ever, and it starts from the ground up at local level in your hands, he said. Your reporting and the work of all those who support you helps amplify and reaffirm the rights and responsibilities we all share. It shines a light in dark corners, exposing injustice and wrongdoing. He added, above all, it helps strengthen our communities in times of joy and at moments of sorrow. You won't always get it right. A free media is one that will and does make mistakes. But at its best, it is a cornerstone of our democracy. The King recognised that many outlets have adapted to a changed media landscape that has been affected by commercial pressures and changing technologies. This included by finding ways of engaging audiences in new and creative ways. He added, it is in everybody's interest that you should succeed, for without a thriving and financially robust regional media, we would all be the poorer. Camilla is patron of the Journalists Charity, as well as the Guild of St. Bride's, which is based at St. Bride's Church on Fleet Street and is otherwise known as the Journalists Church.
Youngsters can win Easter treats this April the 1st by taking part in a bus trail across Oxford. City Sightseeing Oxford's Bunny Hop Trail is back for a second year, with six bunnies hiding at different locations on the Open Top bus tour. The trail is free for those with a bus tour ticket, will be running from Saturday April the 5th to Monday April the 21st, and is suitable for families with young children. Participants can collect a trail card and map from the Oxford Visitor Information Point at 4445 High Street or from its Gloucester Green Travel Shop, ticket sellers or bus drivers. The map will guide families past historic Oxford sites where children can search for the bunnies and collect stamps on their trail card. Once all the stamps have been collected, children can claim a prize at the Visitor Information Point until 5 p.m. Luke Marion, Managing Director of City Sightseeing Oxford, said, our Bunny Hop Trail was a huge success last year, so we're pleased to bring this activity for families back to Oxford. Insights from our tour guides, coupled with the fun of the trail and an opportunity to explore the city's top attractions, guarantee a great day out for all the family. More than 7 million tourists visit our city each year, many travelling from the other side of the world to sample sites as we locals might sometimes take for granted.
Abingdon Cinema is preparing to return to its permanent venue after it was forced to find a temporary home due to roof repairs. Abbey Cinema closed last year after unsafe concrete and asbestos was found in Abbey Hall's roof, and was given a new temporary home by the Town Council. Following the discoveries in the roof, the Town Council said the cinema could operate from the neighbouring Old Magistrates Court in the adjoining Guild Hall on a temporary basis. Now repairs to the roof have been completed and the cinema is ready to move back to Abbey Hall. The Town Council posted on Facebook, the Council is pleased to announce that following the successful completion of RAAC, Reinforced Autoclaved Aerated Concrete, mediation works at the Abbey Hall, the Abbey Cinema will soon return to its original location. The cost of the work has been in excess of £250,000. The Council expects to hand the hall back to the cinema with films showing there again from the 11th of April. Abingdon didn't have a cinema for many years until Ian and Sue Wiper opened the Abbey Cinema in the Guild Hall in 2018. For a short time before moving to Abbey Hall, the cinema group showed films at the Unicorn Theatre in the town's historic Abbey buildings.
City Council waives road closure fee for VE parties. Oxford residents are being encouraged to host street parties to celebrate the 80th anniversary of the end of World War II. To support people to mark Victory in Europe, VE Day, and Victory over Japan, VJ Day, the City Council is waiving the road closure charge for small community events, which is usually £18. The community celebrations in Oxford will take place on Bank Holiday Monday, May the 5th, when millions across the UK are expected to join in the Great British Food Festival. There will be a service at St Michael at the North Gate Church on Corn Market Street at 10:30 a.m. on April the 27th. The church contains Oxford's honour roll with the names of soldiers from Oxford who died in World War I and World War II. On May the 8th, the anniversary of VE Day, the Union flag will fly over the Town Hall and from Carfax Tower. The tower's bell will ring out at 6:30 p.m. and a beacon will be lit at Blenheim Palace at 9:30 p.m. The Bicester Military Wives Choir will perform to commemorate VE Day on both St Michael Street and in the Covered Market on May the 10th. Councillor Mike Rowley, Lord Mayor of Oxford, said the 80th anniversaries of VE and VJ Day are an important opportunity for us to come together to honour the bravery and sacrifice of the World Time Generation. VE Day is a defining moment in our history, and this may be one of the last opportunities we have to thank the surviving veterans, so we should celebrate them in style, gathering with our neighbours and local communities to share food, drink and stories will always be a very special thing to do. By waiving the road closure charge for small street parties, we want to make it as easy as possible for people to take part. If you're thinking about hosting a street party, please get in touch and we'll help make sure that you have what you need to create a fantastic community event here in Oxford to celebrate 80 years of peace. Fees for large and commercial events, as well as events selling alcohol, will remain in place. The City Council is now accepting applications for street parties on May the 5th. Applications must be submitted no later than Monday, April the 7th. A national programme of events will take place across the UK, including a military procession, flypast and street parties on May the 5th. There will also be a remembrance service at Westminster Abbey on May the 8th and a national service at the National Memorial Arboretum on August the 15th.
People are concerned over the potential impact of an Oxford pub applying to open until 1 a.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Oranges and Lemons in St Clement Street was taken over by the Morgan Pub Collective, which runs The Grapes in George Street, last year. It reopened in February under its original name, having recently been called the Angel and Greyhound. The pub has applied to Oxford City Council to be open from 11 a.m. to 1 a.m. the next day on Fridays and Saturdays. It also wants to open until 2:30 a.m. from New Year's Eve to New Year's Day. The opening times for the rest of the week won't change. Currently, it's licensed to serve alcohol until 12 a.m. 7 days a week. However, locals have raised concerns about the potential noise of people being there later. Miss Sosnoska of St Clement Street said, "I can currently hear noise from the pub and noise when customers are entering and leaving premises. I don't mind the pub being open till 11 p.m. and I'm okay with the level of noise until 11 p.m. Their quiz nights bring more noise as the speakers outside are turned up for the quizmaster, but I can accept it one night a week. I understand I move next to the pub and that comes with certain level of noise. But having license until 1 a.m. will expose my personal space to too much and too late noise." Mr. Ormond of St Clement Street said, "My primary concern is the potential for increased public nuisance. If the extended hours are granted, patrons are likely to use the outdoor patio area, resulting in elevated noise levels and disturbances to the surrounding community during late hours. The current closing time sometimes sees noise and disruption, and extending these hours would exacerbate the issue, particularly for residents in the vicinity who seek a peaceful living environment. In a response to the objections, Stephen Thomas, on behalf of the pub, said, "Our client wishes to work with its local residents and positively address the concerns raised." Meanwhile, in another application, Popeyes in Oxford city centre has applied to open until 1 a.m. shortly after nearby McDonald's had a similar plan refused amid fears over the noise impact on nearby properties. Popeyes Louisiana Kitchen in Queen Street wants to extend its opening hours to 1 a.m. 7 days a week and 2 a.m. for deliveries. It is open from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The new opening times would be 7 a.m. to 1 a.m. This comes just weeks after the new McDonald's, which opened on the 27th of March in Corn Market Street, had plans to open until 3 a.m. refused. The major fast food chain had to settle with closing at midnight. The 3 a.m. plan was refused over concerns that it would result in unacceptable noise impacts to potential detriment of the amenity and quality of life of the nearby occupier.
Cheap parking spaces at college to stay for now. Shoppers can continue to use cheap parking spaces at an Oxford City Centre college for the time being. Since 2012, City of Oxford College in Oxpens Road has been renting out about 91 spaces at its College of Oxpens Road at weekends and during college holidays. For £6, at weekends you can park all day at the college site, a much cheaper deal than the City's Council's Oxpens car park opposite, and this will continue until a planning appeal has been decided. Oxford City Council leaders agreed in February to increase parking charges across car parks in the city centre by at least 5% from April the 1st. Parking for 6 to 12 hours at the Oxpens car park will now cost £22, up from £21.50. That's much more expensive than at the college car park across the road. The college car park is open for shoppers on Saturdays from 7:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and on Sundays and bank holidays from 8:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can park all day for £6. The college states, "You can park for as long or as short a time as you like on Saturday or Sunday. It's just £6 per visit per day. Payment is card only and you pay when you enter." Depending on how long you want to park for, it could also be cheaper to park at the college than at the Westgate Centre. The entrance for the shopping centre car park is also in Oxpens Road, and parking there for 2 to 3 hours costs £6.20. Earlier this month, Graham Jones of Traders Group Rocks, backing Oxford businesses, condemned the latest City Council car park price rise. He said, "Parking charges are already ridiculously high. Only the wealthy can really afford to park in Oxford these days. To put them up even higher when previously busy car parks are already sitting near empty is ridiculous." In March last year, the college, run by Activate Learning, was told it could no longer hire out the spaces which are close to the Westgate Centre. The college was refused a certificate of lawful use by the City Council, but it appealed against the decision and can continue to offer the spaces to shoppers at weekends until a decision has been reached. A spokesman for the City Council said, "The appeal is still with the planning inspector." The council said earlier it had refused the application for the certificate because there was a condition attached to a planning permission granted in March 2020 which precluded the use of the car park other than by staff and students of the college. It is not yet known how long it will be before the planning inspector makes a ruling on the appeal. Mr. Jones added, "I think a little bit of competition is healthy, and I hope the college wins its appeal." Activate Learning has been asked for comment.
Organisers of the Oxford Cambridge boat race are optimistic the new Thames Tideway Tunnel will help lower the chances of another environmental controversy sullying the event again this year. The 2024 edition was marred by the discovery of alarming levels of E. coli bacteria along the course, resulting in a range of safety measures and a member of the losing Oxford boat race revealing he had been ill before the race, famously bemoaning the poo in the water. Battersea Power Station, the boat race company, Oxford University Boat Club and Cambridge University Boat Club have backed London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan's London Rivers Pledge, which among its goals aims to make the capital's rivers swimmable by 2034. "You can't get much closer to the river than by rowing on it," said boat race chair Siobhan Cassidy. And for that and for many millions of other reasons, those signing the pledge will be supporting the mayor so that all of London's rivers are cleaned up systematically over the next 10 years. All four crews are full of fresh faces this year. Oxford will be looking to deny Cambridge a third straight victory in the men's race and claim their first women's title since 2016.
1,200 name petition for traffic chief to go blocked. Calls for Andrew Gant to resign from his role as Oxfordshire's transport chief were blocked from being presented at a public meeting. The petition named Get Gant Gone was set up in July by Oxford City Councillor David Henwood of the Independent Oxford Alliance. He planned to submit the petition, which has amassed more than 1,200 signatures, to Oxfordshire County Council's full council meeting on Tuesday, April the 1st. However, he was told by council officers they would not accept the petition because it could influence the interests of any political parties who may be involved in the upcoming local elections. Oxfordshire County Council has entered the pre-election period for its local elections, which will take place on May the 1st. Mr. Henwood said he respected officers' guidance and that he would submit the petition immediately after the election. He added, "Councillors have a duty to represent the views of their constituents. Clearly, Councillor Gant has failed to listen or respect the views of the majority of Oxford residents. This in itself reflects poorly upon his leadership and his ability to make decisions for the betterment of Oxford." The petition states that Mr. Gant, who has been Cabinet Member for Transport Management since May 2022, has a dismissive attitude toward public consultation, and that his continuous disregard for our voices is an indication that he is not fit for public office. The County Council's core schemes, including the introduction of traffic filters, expanding the zero emission zones, ZEZ, and the workplace parking levy, as well as other key policies such as the 20 miles per hour scheme, have divided opinions across Oxford and the wider county. A spokesperson for the County Council said, "There are statutory restrictions that apply at all councils before elections relating to the work of the council, its officers and those councillors who may stand in the forthcoming election. It would not therefore be appropriate for the council to hear any petition that could potentially have influenced the interests of any political party or grouping who may subsequently have an involvement in the polls due to take place on Thursday, May the 1st. The guidance is set out in the Local Government Act 1986, which prevents local authorities from publishing material which appears to be designed to affect public support for a political party." Mr. Gant declined to comment. Tuesday's meeting was the final council meeting of the current term, after which a new council will be formed. All seats will be up for election in May, and a full list of candidates is expected to be made public in the week ending Friday, April the 4th.
Staff and students from an Oxford University department will enjoy a 40-minute walk, beginning in darkness and finishing in sunlight this spring. The Nuffield Department of Medicine, NDM, at Oxford University is organising the walk ahead of Mental Health Awareness Week, which runs from the 12th to the 18th of May. On the 10th of May, participants from the university will gather at the St Aldate's Gate at 4:30 a.m. and finish at Christchurch Meadow at 5:20 a.m. in time to meet the sunrise. Eleanor McPhilbin, Director of Human Resources at NDM, said, "As department within the University of Oxford, we wanted to organise a reflective sunrise walk in one of Oxford's many natural spaces to signify that there's light after the darkness. By coming together as a community and in partnership with charities like the Samaritans, we can support those who are struggling with mental health issues and those impacted by suicide." Bron Marguerite de Routroux, Chief of Staff at NDM, added, "Our students and staff, whether academic or in administrative roles, come from all walks of life and live and work in Oxford and the region. We all struggle with mental health at some point in our lives. A walk like this provides an opportunity for us all to reflect and remember those we have lost."
An Easter-themed postbox topper has appeared in Whitney, putting smiles on the faces of passers-by. The topper, featuring Peter Rabbit, Easter bunnies, chickens and chicks in a spring flower garden, has been placed on top of the postbox in the town's High Street. It was created by members of the Whitney Pins and Needles group, who meet every Wednesday afternoon at the Part and Parcel, which is located in the old post office building. Decorating postboxes with knitted and crocheted toppers has become a popular national trend, and the local group hopes that their creation will bring plenty of smiles to the faces of the town's residents and visitors. Post box toppers have previously been seen across the UK to pay tribute to NHS workers during the COVID pandemic and for the Queen's Platinum Jubilee celebrations.
An independent councillor has stepped down from Oxford City Council with immediate effect this week. Councillor Barbara Coyne represented the Headington Hill and Northway ward as part of Oxford Community Independence. She submitted her resignation after a full council meeting where she had put forward a motion calling for the City Council to boycott companies which are linked to war crimes and violations of international law. The motion was passed unanimously. When contacted for comment, she said she stood down in time for the notice of election date on Monday so that a by-election could be held at the same time as the Oxfordshire County Council elections on May the 1st, which would incur no extra cost to the City Council. She added, "I want to reiterate what a real honour and incredibly huge privilege it has been to have had the chance to serve the residents of Headington Hill and Northway since my selection in 2020. Miss Coyne was elected to the City Council as Labour Councillor in May 2021, but resigned in October 2023 due to the National Labour Leadership stance on Gaza. A Reform UK group has formed on Oxfordshire County Council for the first time after two councillors joined the party. Councillor Felix Bloomfield, who represents the Benson and Chorley division, defected to Reform from the Conservative group, while Councillor Kevin Bulmer, who represents Goring, was an independent councillor after leaving the Conservatives in 2024. This comes in the run-up to the County Council local elections, which will be held on the 1st of May. Reform UK say they plan to have candidates in every seat up for election this year across the county. Sir Ed Davey declared the local elections a two-horse race as he launched the Liberal Democrats' local election campaign in Oxfordshire. Appearing at an event at a golf club near Henley on Monday, Sir Ed accused the Conservatives of moving away from their values and sought to position the Lib Dems as party of Middle England. Illustrating his point, he rode a hobby horse over a series of jumps before smashing through a blue fence, vowing to do the same to the Tories on the 1st of May. Speaking to reporters, he denied recasting the Lib Dems as soft Tories, saying, "We're true to our values. It's the Conservatives who are moving away from theirs." But Sir Ed insisted his party could appeal to Conservative and Labour voters, saying he hoped to win the new Hull and East Yorkshire mayoralty, which is up for election on the 1st of May. The Lib Dem election launch followed similar events by the Tories and Reform.
A care home and a primary school have joined forces for an environmental initiative. Care home Highmarket House and pupils from St Mary's Church of England Primary School recently teamed up for Generations of Change. On March the 18th, this intergenerational project, launched to mark Global Recycling Day, aims to unite old and young in a shared mission of environmental care. The programme involves activities linked to biodiversity, climate change, and sustainable gardening. To kick things off, residents and pupils took part in a litter pick in People's Park. They then enjoyed a tea party at Highmarket House with marmalade sandwiches inspired by Paddington Bear and tea. Some team members dressed up as Paddington, with others dressing up as Disney characters. Christine Fowler, a 72-year-old resident at the care home, said, "The litter pick was good fun and gave me the opportunity to meet new people. The children were lovely. They were so well behaved and enthusiastic. We felt there was no age gap at all, and the cooperation from the children was great." The project is set to continue with more activities lined up, aiming to combat loneliness in older people by fostering meaningful connections with the younger generation.
Traders say the removal of parking spaces in front of their shops in Summertown would absolutely destroy small businesses in the area. There are 25 on-street customer parking spaces on the service road on the western side of Banbury Road in front of the shops. Oxfordshire County Council conducted a survey on several potential schemes to improve streets in the city centre and Oxford North. One of the possible proposals calls for the removal of the service road so that more seating space, greenery and cafe seating can be put in its place. However, businesses have opposed these plans over its potential impact on customers, particularly those who are elderly, as well as their own footfall. A petition, which is exclusively open to businesses in Summertown, will be presented at the full council meeting on Tuesday, the 1st of April. The council has asserted this is not a formal proposal and said it was aware of false information circulating to suggest that it was. Jack Raymond, assistant manager of the Dewdrop Inn in Summertown, said, "If there's nowhere to park, I think it will absolutely destroy the traders around here. There's already a lot of parking in the area, plus when businesses have deliveries, the service road is where they would go. I do not agree with it at all. It takes away footfall, it takes away trade, and it takes away the possibility of people wanting to travel here by car." Summertown householder Matthew Richardson, who will be speaking about the petition at the meeting, said the suggestion was a solution looking for a problem. He added, "Summertown is an increasingly rare example of successful high street. It has a very unique mix of independent traders and big brand names. Once you lose these small businesses, it's hard to get them back. And some small things like this could take the small businesses over the edge. You need both flexibility of short-term and long-term parking. It serves a lot of the short-term needs of the people of Oxford and the surrounding villages. This is not a mob with burning sticks. It's a positive interaction between business and the council. Inga Nicholas, who is running as independent Oxford Alliance candidate for Wolvercote and Cutslow, said, "The loss of parking on Banbury Road would negatively impact businesses in the area. The Summertown car park is often full and cannot offset the loss in parking that would occur." The survey closed on the 23rd of March.
CEO not keen on ground sharing. Oxford United Chief Executive Tim Williams says his preference would be to stay at the Kassam Stadium rather than ground sharing in the period while a proposed new stadium is built, although neither option is particularly attractive. The Ewes submitted a planning application to Charwell District Council for a 16,000 capacity ground at the Triangle, south of Kidlington Roundabout, at the end of February 2024. It was announced in February of this year that the council has asked for more time to review additional information, meaning the earliest that a decision will be made on the stadium application is June the 5th. United see their licence agreement at the Kassam run out on June the 30th, 2026, and the club has previously stated that it is in advanced discussions regarding short-term provisions for the period between the lease of the Kassam expiring and the proposed stadium being ready. Ewes Chief Executive Williams told BBC Radio Oxford The Dub podcast, "We have a number of options available to us in terms of what we do from June 2026. They are very well documented and they are pretty much what we would all understand and agree to, which is we ground share while the stadium is being built or we try and extend the licence here at the Kassam. Neither are particularly attractive options, but we are progressing with the solutions to what we would do for the period of time between the end of 2026 and the new stadium being open." He added, "I think for everybody involved, no more than so the fans and supporters, the path of at least resistance would be to see if we can stay where we are for the couple of years that we need to. I don't particularly want to ground share anywhere. That's not a particularly good option, and that's an understatement. For me, the most attractive option is to stay where we are, assuming that we can." On the significance of getting planning permission for the proposed stadium, Williams said, "There is nothing more important. We don't have a stadium to be in if this doesn't work out. I don't particularly like binary things and binary decisions. I always like to think, what are the options? But this really is that binary. We are in a position where we have got to move. This isn't now about moving to a stadium that will allow us to generate X million more revenues. This is about getting into a stadium. The only way we can make that stadium work is to have it structured the way it is in terms of the hotel and going to be on in it, all the ancillary facilities that are going to be on in it. But fundamentally, if we don't have a stadium, we don't have a football club. It's appallingly binary as that."
Neighbours mark their 101st birthdays over the garden wall. Two next-door neighbours are both celebrating their 101st birthdays. Josie Church and Anne Wallace Hadrill have lived side by side in North Oxford since the 1980s. The great-grands share something else in common, the same birthday, after being born on the same day in 1924. Ms. Church said, "I think life has gone quite quickly. Anne was very busy when she was younger, so was I, and was very productive and creative. She did a lot of painting and tapestry, and she was always busy, and I was always busy doing something else, somewhere else, because that's the sort of life we live. I don't think we've thought much about the time passing. It's just passed." Both women threw themselves into volunteering and creative activities after their husbands died. Miss Church's husband Peter passed away in the 1990s, and the women formed a friendship. Miss Wallace Hadrill, who grew up in Hampshire, first moved to the house following the death of her husband, John Michael Wallace Hadrill, a historian. She read English at St Hilda's College, Oxford University, and served in the Women's Royal Naval Service as a radio mechanic during the Second World War. St Hilda's was an all-female college at the time, but Miss Wallace Hadrill says, "We weren't forbidden from seeing men. We were expected to live decent lives." She says she enjoyed university, but it was both a lot of fun and a lot of work. She met her husband at a family gathering. After graduating, Miss Wallace Hadrill worked as a lexicographer for the Oxford English Dictionary. She said, "I was always interested in words. It was my trade." She was very proud to receive a medal for her service from the Royal Navy last year, described as long overdue by the representative who gave it to her. Originally from Manchester, Miss Church did her training at Preston Royal Infirmary and remembers the introduction of the NHS. She said training was 3 years of hard work. In those days, Miss Church said, you had to live in and you couldn't get married, and it was very strict. People wouldn't put up with that sort of life now. Her time nursing during the Second World War included a chilling experience of caring for SS German soldiers. Miss Church said, they weren't very nice. They didn't wish to be taken care of by us. They were very difficult patients. She moved with her husband to Oxford so he could continue his degree at University College, interrupted by the war, and they lived the life of an undergraduate. Half of the undergraduates had been to war, while the other half were young students just matriculating. Miss Church said, Oxford was very strange because each college had a large intake of older people who'd gone through the war and were taking up their university places. So you'd get the old men and then the young 18-year-olds coming in from school. Oxford wasn't like it is now. There were quite a lot of married undergraduates who you don't get, I don't think, now. After marrying, she worked for a while and looked after her family. Her husband was a housemaster at a boys' boarding school, and she was the house nurse, meaning she had an interesting few years looking after 120 boys. They don't remember the moment they discovered they had the same birthday, but enjoyed the celebrations arranged for them last year. We live in the most amazing road. It's like one big extended family, Miss Church said. Everybody knows everybody else. If you have a problem, you will just give a shout and somebody will come. It was wonderful. We had a lovely day last year. It was quite unexpected because I didn't know anything about it. It's just an amazing street. I think we are lucky. As for tips to lead a long life, Josie said, just live. There's not much you can do. You just go on from one thing to the next. You do what seems to be needing doing, and then you do that, and then something else takes its place. You just go on from one thing to another. We don't engineer our lives. I think they've just engineered us. They were both born on April the 1st, 1924.
Taylor Swift and giraffes were sighted at Oxford University during a busy April Fool's Day. April Fool's Day is an annual custom on the first of the fourth month, which sees practical jokes played. In Oxfordshire, there was a fair share of gags, fibs and white lies, which had some laughing, others bemused. The Oxford Mail rounded up the best pranks from county and city. Giraffes were spotted at Exeter College's grounds on Thursday, March the 27th, not April the 1st, at least according to an edited photograph appearing on the college's X profile. The post said, Breaking news as Exeter College welcomes its tallest new scholars. Spotted today in the Fellows Gardens, these eager new students are rumoured to be majoring in higher education. Insiders say they're already reaching for the top of their class. Giraffes were not the only ones apparently at the prestigious institution, with Taylor Swift also rumoured to be coming to the city. The Oxford Mail reported that the global pop star was to start studying a DPhil in theory of music at the university. Staying on the Oxford University theme and the Bodleian Libraries also made a pranky post on social media. Writing on X, the official account said, "The Bodleian Libraries are full. From now on, we will be operating on one in, one out system. First up, Shakespeare's first folio, we have his third, and it's in much better condition, versus Colleen Hoover's It Ends With Us. Vote now." Finally, British Transport Police had some fun on their own, stating that shoes would be banned on trains. Today we're announcing new measures which will see the mandatory removal of outdoor footwear on the railway, said a BTP statement. The groundbreaking step is being introduced following a surge in reports to our text 61016 service of people putting their feet on seats.
Simon Cowell has revealed that he hates the interior decor of his £8 million mansion in the Cotswolds. The talent show judge has followed many celebrities in making the move to the countryside. Ellen DeGeneres, Jeremy Clarkson and Kate Winslet and Hugh Grant, as well as David and Victoria Beckham, have all made the tranquil Cotswolds their home. The Britain's Got Talent judge sold his £45 million Holland Park townhouse in 2022, making the £8 million move to the country house. Very few glimpses have been shown inside, likely due to his London home being burgled in 2015. This has now changed with a video posted online by interior designer Kelly Hoppen, who was enlisted by Cowell to help turn his house into a home. Sneak peek of some close-ups of Simon Cowell and Lauren's country project designed by me, said the caption on TikTok. Such an honour to have designed this home for such perfect clients and friends, Miss Hoppen penned in the caption. Cushions were shown, but Cowell has revealed that he hates the items. "You don't like chopped cushions. I go one stage further than that. I don't like cushions at all," said Mr. Cowell.
Mini Maker slams US trade war risks, from Thursday's Mail. Car giant BMW, which owns Oxford's Mini plant, has criticised US President Donald Trump for risking a trade war which could have an impact on hundreds of jobs. BMW Group, which runs the factory in Cowley, said a standoff would not have any benefits ahead of US President Donald Trump's announcement on trade tariffs. Last night, Wednesday, April the 2nd, this Oxtalk edition was sent out on April the 18th. Mr. Trump expected to slap import taxes on goods going to the US from around the world. Businesses in Oxfordshire brace for the impact of the President's Liberation Day tariffs, which have the potential to derail the UK government's hopes for economic growth. It has been estimated that the tariffs could knock up to 1% of the size of the UK economy if there was a full-blown trade war, with the UK retaliating to Mr. Trump's measures. Analysis from the Institute for Public Policy Research, IPPR, suggested tariffs on car imports would put 25,000 UK jobs at risk and completely destabilise the UK car manufacturing industry. The BMW Group said, "Free trade and international cooperation are of immense importance worldwide and are essential drivers of growth and progress. They've always been a guiding principle of the BMW Group. We should be discussing reducing trade barriers rather than creating more. The BMW Group remains committed to reducing tariffs and trade barriers between the EU and the USA, which would benefit consumers in both regions. The EU and the US are the world's largest trading partners, which brings great responsibility to both sides. A trade conflict between these economic regions would not have any benefit. Both sides should therefore promptly find a transatlantic deal that creates growth and prevents a spiral of isolation and trade barriers. It comes as BMW has paused plans for its electric mini production at the Oxford plant, with European Union electric vehicle sales dipping by 5.9% last year. The plant builds combustion engine versions of the new three-door Mini and convertible, while BMW imports the electric hatch and EV-only Aceman from China. Commenting on Mr. Trump's tariffs, BISTA MP Callum Miller said, "Despite weeks of refusing to criticise Donald Trump's damaging behaviour, it's now increasingly apparent that the government will not secure a carve-out for the UK ahead of Trump's global tariff war. Trump has shown himself to be an unreliable partner on the economy. No one, not even the US's oldest allies, are safe from the economic harm reaped by this White House. We need to end this trade war as quickly as possible. That means working with our Canadian and European allies in a united front against Trump, including retaliatory tariffs where necessary, as well as negotiating a bespoke new customs union agreement with the EU to better protect British businesses."
That was the last of our news items for this week. We will conclude this programme with a poem read by Judith Piggott.
A poem by Tom Lovett Williams, who lived from 1897 to 1986 and described Oxford in April in this poem. Oxford by Tom Lovett Williams. I see the coloured lilacs flame in many an ancient Oxford lane, and bright laburnum holds its bloom suspended golden in the noon. The placid lawns I often tread are stained and carpeted with red, where the tall chestnuts cast their flowers to make the fleeting April hours. And now the crowded hawthorn yields its haunting perfume to the fields, with men and maidens hurrying out along Port Meadow to the trout, there by the coruscating stream, to drink and gaze and gaze and dream. An ageless dame leaves her abode to caper down the Woodstock Road and greet a dean she used to know a trifling 60 years ago. Queer tricycles of unknown date are peddled at a frightful rate. Their baskets bulge with borrowed books or terriers of uncertain looks. Perpetual motion in the high, beneath the blue and primrose sky, and cherry blossom like a cloud beside the traffic roaring loud, while daffodils go dancing gold in streets where time runs grey and old, and poets sweating in the throng can sometimes hear a blackbird's song. All Oxford spires are tipped with rose, a windful magic sweetly blows, and suddenly it seems, in truth, as if the centuries of youth are crowding all the streets and lanes in April when the lilac flames.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments or feedback about Oxtalk, please telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. That's 07496 062 280. Please remember to leave your name and contact number with your message. Alternatively, you can send an email to mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and those from previous weeks are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen directly or download the audio file. You can also listen on an Alexa device through the Talking Newspapers skill. If you need advice on this, please phone the main Oxtalk number. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Tuesday with more news, so until then, we hope you have a good week.